Okay, we are back with my beloved co-host, Mr. Bill Hubbard, who's a market analyst for optech.com. And with Matthew Yates, who's got the longest title in the history of mankind. He's a quantitative investment manager for Seven Investment Management.
Got it in one.
Nearly. There's a slight hesitation there. But Matthew, it's good to see you, and it's good that I've got I've got 10 minutes to rehearse on the outro. But what are you looking at today?
There's a few things I think that are really interesting, I suppose. If you think about the market and the way it's moved so far this year, one word that's been, from a quantitative perspective anyway, and but on every investor's mind, has been correlations, okay? And the correlations between, be it oil and the general stock market, be it gold and the general, you know, where are we looking? And so I think, if I think about correlations and I think about trying to line things up in terms of letters, the three Bs I think are really interesting for me. One is Brent, one is banks, and the final one, closer to home, I suppose, is Brexit.
I thought you were going to say something rude then.
Yeah, sort of was that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, you know, always minding the wrong thing.
Well, no, but the other thing is, I mean, this is what I'm thinking this week, or, you know, with this rally in the FTSE that we've had just in the last couple of days. The relationships between almost everything has just gone out the window. I mean, it's just, it sort of implies that we've got sort of fiddled or artificial markets, let's say, or a phony market, phony war situation, that would be sort of kind. And the relationships that you'd normally expect, you know, euro dollar up, DAX down, and gold up, and, you know, silver down, or whatever it is, they're all out.
No, I'd agree. I think what that comes back off, though, is something that we've seen all year, as well as the correlation story, which is, as you're pointing out, really a technical market rather than a fundamental market. Okay, how long ago was it? Okay, the middle of February, when, you know, things looked like the world was going to pieces. You know, people were talking about rate cuts in the US. Okay, people were talking about a US recession. And look where we are now, not much further down the road, and we're seeing kind of strong positive growth in the US. It's all about, okay, we've moved down from our 4-rate rise scenario to our 2-rate rise scenario, but certainly not rate cuts. I mean, they're kind of completely out the window.
You know, you just mentioned a point. The investors have been looking at a myriad of correlations. Mm-hmm. I guess my problem is I have a very difficult time with Auntie Janet. Yeah. I mean, what correlations could she be even looking at? You know, as you said, not mentioning a rate cut, but not discounting it. And you just said, I mean, the minimum situation is, I know we won't have an April move, which I wouldn't expect anyway, but I mean, the market, and I mean, people that I trust and know are still talking 2 rate hikes this year. And even yesterday's beige book, the best beige book in 19 months, okay? It wasn't bullish, but it was moderate to modest, okay? And the only bad areas were, need I tell anybody, Cleveland, okay, mm-hmm. Youngstown, Ohio, Detroit, steel and automotive related. Well, we know those are difficult areas anywhere in the world.
No, I agree. I think really Yellen's policy and what's driving Yellen's policy is an interesting point, though. Okay, so central banks, you know, usually fall down on the side of, okay, we will be driven through the data. And there's one kind of policy target, I suppose, that the Fed has explicitly, which is inflation. And Yellen is explicitly putting herself out of line with that target. Okay, there has been a drag on inflation from kind of headline commodities, kind of, you know, oil, volatile as it were, and you know there's all sorts of discussions we could have about oil, but if you strip out oil and you look at core inflation in the US, okay, trending well above, kind of firmly above 2%.
Right.
Yellen, what she's really doing by kind of cutting back on the forward rate expectations is putting herself behind that inflation curve.
I mean, she started putting herself behind the curve last March, okay?
Yeah.
Not that the market was expecting a June hike, but we were expecting a June premonition that we'd get the first hike in September. So she's really been behind the curve now for over 1 year.
I'd agree. She's been behind the curve, but I think now markets are kind of starting to kind of price that in and kind of realize, if you look at the movement in kind of 10-year and 30-year break evens, you know, there's been a dramatic rally in kind of those points. I think if we link back to, I suppose, technical versus fundamental factors in some of those markets, so to give some credit to Yellen. So there's an interesting idea that out of the TIPS market, there was around 30 billion of kind of petrodollar money that came out of the TIPS market. So this is one of these not deflationary, but one of these forces that we're seeing technically driving, I suppose, inflation expectations, which is an impact of lower oil prices, is that the sovereign wealth funds located in countries with a lot of oil exposure need to pull their money out of markets. One place was the TIPS market, around $30 billion of petrodollar money, which kind of some analysts are saying is around 40 to 50 basis points of break-even inflation. Okay, just through that structural flow out. So I Yellen's up against some interesting forces at the moment, I think, but certainly, you know, in terms of the forward projection of interest rates now, it's becoming kind of this technical to fundamental discord looks like it's going to go on a little
but
bit longer.
Even again, if you look at the futures market, okay, Fed fund futures now only imply a 72% probability of one rate hike this year. And if you also look 5 year forward, they're only talking one by 25 basis point rate hikes until 2020.
It's been talked about before, I suppose, but one of the things that I find interesting is that one of the things that came out of the G20, I suppose, was this idea of kind of central, you know, this currency war, is it over? Central bankers working together. And one thing that was really one of the headwinds rather to kind of asset markets last year was a stronger dollar. Okay, unequivocally, the world is kind of, especially emerging markets, really struggling in the face of a strong dollar. One of the things that came out of the G20 was like, is this currency war going to continue? So sometimes you wonder if in the background is the US, although they're putting themselves behind their explicit kind of targets that they've traditionally looked to, the data-driven targets like inflation, they realize that actually their economy may be better off in a world where the dollar is a little bit weaker. Emerging markets that have had so many headwinds for so long, and kind of that's a good performing asset class this year on the back of a weaker US dollar, maybe that is the sort of environment where actually the US ends up better off, even if on a shorter term basis, by the Fed's own data-driven targets, it's hard to see them.
But, you know, you go back. I mean, the market, as I was just saying, okay, the market was expecting a bullish statement from the March statement last year, hence the reason we saw, 104.5 to 107 for the euro. I mean, the market had priced in two rate hikes last year. Okay, it got ahead of itself. Now is it a situation where, is it dollar buyers or yen sellers, euro sellers, sterling sellers that is improving the dollar, not taking the dollar to the moon?
I suppose that is an interesting. I suppose that's an interesting idea. I think if you look at the end of last year, you really struggled to find a dollar bear, though. At the end of 2015, you really, really struggled to find a dollar bear. I think the thing you mentioned there about the market's positioning before kind of announcement is kind of very true. One thing that's really evident to me is that if there ever was a currency war, it seems like Kuroda and Draghi have kind of run out of bullets, and they've run out of the ability to kind of weaken their currencies versus kind of the dollar versus, you know, be what it will. As much as they try, I suppose, with their monetary policies now, you've had a Japanese economy and you've had a European economy that even, you know, Japanese explicitly, you more implicitly, that have been based around weakening the currencies in the air or the aim of really improving kind of the underlying forces in the economy. I think they're running out of the ability to do that. I think markets are starting to move to the point where enough is enough.
Well, I've still got plenty of bullets. Matthew Yates, quantitative investment manager for Seven Investment Management. Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much, guys.